It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
We're back,
baby. Well, yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Total and utter whiteout conditions. Treacherous driving on the highways and byways. State of emergency in the entire state, a state of emergency in the city. It takes more than that to keep all of us away from a victory Monday, a Patriots are Super Bowl bound, but Patriot Monday on this radio show. Everybody, well, almost everybody is here this morning.
Yeah.
And what, I can't believe it. Curtis, I cannot believe that we are talking about this New England Patriots team. After all that we have been through last 4 years on the way to the Super Bowl. I can't believe it.
I went to one game this year, and it was the loss at home to the Raiders in week one. And I remember walking back to my car being like, I can't do another year of 4-13. Like, I just can't. And then to sit there yesterday, and when you win, when your team wins the first of the two AFC and NFC championship games on Championship Sunday, that night is euphoric. Because you sit back, you know you're already there, you're just waiting to see who you're going to play, and you're listening, if you're me, you're listening to a soundtrack of Mr. Super Bowl himself, Tom Brady, on the call. And I could in a million years have never predicted this. The only team that was more surprising is Wiggy's. In 2001.
Yeah.
But
right.
Like every part of this is shocking. It's shocking in how it was so basic. Like the football, it's not some like greatest show on turf. It's not like
no. They
created the Wildcat like Sperano and the Dolphins. Like it's just football.
They're grinders. Like they grind out a win when they need to grind out a win.
And immediately after Drake May's post-game interview on the field where he says, the Pats are back, baby. Yeah. Let's go get one.
Yes, yes.
I could have run through a wall.
Please don't. I'm already taking abuse on the text line because we have a pregnant lady at work in the middle of the storm of the century.
Yeah, and people say that I'm, you know, I'm soft.
No, not soft here. No,
Courtney, would you say you're a better driver now that there's a man with you?
Yes. Okay. Sando drove me in and will be picking me up.
Oh, props to Sando.
Good job, Sando.
Now that's a good husband.
He was up very early getting us out of there.
I will say we're down two people this morning. And so Wiggy's here. Courtney's here. Shime, of course, is here. I think Shime, did you stay at the hotel down the street last night?
Sure did, Greg.
Good for you.
Still had to shovel myself out this morning, and I did it just fine. It was
great. Good for you. Curtis is here. Len Laird, extra credit, he slept here at the radio station last night. That is dedication.
Wow. Can I just say, there are so many bosses out there that are like, you need to be in, and then they don't show up at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ken Laird looking at his air mattress in his office with his cute little bedding. Like, that is, I really do appreciate that.
The man bleeds W-E-E-I.
Yeah, he does.
I got to tell you. Now, we are, Real Life Tom is not here.
Aruba, or
I don't know if he's in.
No,
Aruba.
On his way home from the football pregame show yesterday, he got stuck like three different times. So his car is not able to get through this type of weather.
Real wheel drive
drives a small sedan.
Does he own snowshoes? Like
lives like 30 minutes away.
Okay,
all right.
For those that might be up early during the storm with a day off, watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, I will present this for your opinion.
No.
We can. This will be a. Is this a legit excuse or not? Twitch Mitch is apparently stuck at home.
Yep.
And sent me a photo of his vehicle, which you will see. Now he is operating. This is one of the problems operating Twitch from home.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the visual accompaniments for Twitch are going to be a couple seconds behind. That's his vehicle this morning.
Looks bad.
It does look bad, but this, like, that's why you go out and clean the thing off during the storm when you have a work obligation.
Greg, I was over at the hotel. I went out during the halftime of the Rams Seahawks game, cleared my car off once so that in the morning it wasn't so bad.
Stress brag. Yeah, but I love it. Yeah. I appreciate it, Chime.
You always got to get ahead of it.
Chime, where are you on whether Mitch should be here this morning? Should have cleaned that car up.
So, from the picture I saw, the street didn't look that bad. Therefore, I feel like you should be able to shovel slash snow blow your way out when it's just your car, right?
Back it out.
Come on. You can be able to back it out. Mitch is the best. And I think, why risk it? You know what, Mitch? Good for you. He's still working.
You drove in today.
Yeah. Twitch is up.
Could Santo pick up Mitch?
Santo's already home.
So give him a pass is what you're saying, Coco.
Yeah, yes. All right. Give him a pass.
I'll give him a pass.
This is cruel and unusual that we're having him post the photos that we're mocking.
Right.
Well, you can watch the show all morning long on Twitch or on YouTube, and it is brought to you on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers, and they are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they are open. You know how they are in New Hampshire. They don't care. 10 inches, 20, 25, doesn't matter. Curtis, I think you were spot on the accumulation total, by the way.
I mean, I don't like to brag, but I had 17.2. I saw that douche Lemanowitz say Boston has 16.7.
Right there, Curtis.
I mean, and I called this, by the way, Tuesday. I said the storm was coming.
Yeah.
Reiner said it Thursday. So 48 hours ahead out of the best meteorologist on TV.
Good job.
Well, we are all here, and we will do our best to keep you entertained while you shovel out or snowblow out or whatever you have to do this morning. And there is a lot to talk about because the New England Patriots are headed to the Super Bowl.
Warriors!
I love Mac Hollins, you know, a bit of an odd duck.
Right.
But
a bit?
I mean, I got to tell you something. He sold it all the way with the empty bottles.
Yes.
Yep. And
just needed the vest.
he had kind of a vest on.
Did he have
a
vest?
Yeah,
when he walked in.
Yeah. There's a lot of likable guys on this football team. There really is a lot of likable guys.
Generation gap, Greg. Can you explain to me what the Warriors thing is?
It's a movie.
Don't even try, Chime.
It's from the late 70s.
I asked Santo.
Have you never seen the movie?
I haven't.
I was like, what's going on? What is all these Warriors chants? And he said, you got to watch the clip.
It's a great movie.
No.
It's like a gang.
I watched the 10-minute clip of that scene, and I said, I've had enough.
Oh, no. Really? Courtney, first of all, you don't judge something in 10 minutes.
That seems like it's the best part of the movie. No, everyone's quoting it. That seems like that's
it's the most recognizable.
It's an excellent movie. In fact, there's an Eagles hit song that comes from the soundtrack. If you would like, maybe we can rejoin this morning.
Well, let's do it. We should definitely do that.
But anyway, yes, New England Patriots on their way to the Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara, California, in a couple weeks.
And we're going to the Super Bowl!
Yes. There's our queen.
Yeah, she was.
No. She is not.
Come on, Greg. You're not even going down this road. She defends the wall as hard as they come.
I understand she does.
When she tells a four-year-old, hey, listen, little bitch, shut your mouth.
I know. I understand
nice thing
that.
To say.
I will.
She's our queen, man.
I will not allow you to come at Mrs. May like that.
Well,
I
mean, she could be. New England's big enough to have two queens, but you know what?
But doesn't Diggs have like seven queens? I mean,
No, but there's only one that matters.
Oh, okay.
There's only one that matters, and that is Queen Cardi B.
There's one that travels.
We're going to the Super Bowl!
There's one that travels with security.
Yes.
Yeah. And has a guy with her on the field that makes sure that no one can really talk to
and
her.
And there's one that every reporter runs to after the game and wants a drop.
Now, the New England Patriots decided to stay out there last night. And so when it comes to Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, and the rest of the interviews that we have for you on this radio station on Patriots Monday, they will happen tomorrow. So that team flying back at some point today, and we will be at Gillette Stadium tomorrow morning with the head coach of the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel.
And I got to ask the question to Wiggy, because what the guys were saying was that Mike Vrabel told them no curfew last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
But that the bus leaves at 8 a.m. to get on the flight.
Oh, that's fine.
Does anybody miss that bus?
If they do, like he said, you won't be playing in the bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you know.
But if you just played a football game, so you sweat a bunch, and you're at altitude getting bombed, Not a great situation.
Yeah, I would say.
I could see myself missing that.
I would say just, you know what, just go out, have fun. It's Denver. I don't know, you know, what to do. They're probably staying. They're all staying in the hotel.
Wiggy, don't you have a saying for this?
Yeah, don't let your night job affect your day job. Oh, and just tell your boys, hey, make sure you come by and get me, you know, and that kind of thing.
What if somebody told Matt Collins the establishment required shoes?
Yeah, he probably wouldn't. He would not be let in.
Oh, man.
I know it was a good night for me because I won some money. So.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I did. I didn't listen to Costos and take the over.
I hope nobody
or
else.
The Rams. Holy cow.
I hope nobody else listened to Nick Costos. Yeah. Not a great day for him on Friday on this show, but.
No, but it was, you know, I think when you know, the Rams game was close. I mean, I thought he had a chance at the end there, but
the less than a minute drive, you thought that
25 seconds?
No, when they had the ball, fourth and goal.
Oh, yeah.
All right, they have a chance to take the lead here. They were down by maybe four in that game because they kept coming back, but so I thought, well, maybe the Rams had a chance, and that not when they got the ball at the end.
McVay with a big blunder, though, calling the timeout instead of just throwing the challenge flag.
But that's what I told you. It comes down to the best coaches and the quarterbacks making the plays when they need to. You look at the Denver game, and I said it to my son, kick the field goal.
Yep, they lost the game right there.
The Rams won?
No, Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah, that I agree. Because, like, Sean McVay shouldn't have kicked the field goal on fourth and goal, correct? We all agree on that?
Yeah.
That's because people are, like, arguing that.
That's only a blunder if the play isn't turned over.
Well, no, like, because you're calling a timeout anyways, right? So if you throw the challenge flag, the clock stops.
Right.
Yeah, if you miss it, you lose the timeout anyway. So it's like it's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, I guess so.
You get the timeout, or you also possibly get a third and short situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, either way, you're calling a timeout. You have to challenge that. And from the camera angles I saw, it looked like he was short.
I can't wait to – we'll get into it after Leeds or throughout the morning. But I cannot wait to get your opinion on how this New England Patriots team matches up with the Seattle Seahawks team. So we have a lot to talk about on today's show, and you can be on it at any point in the middle of a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-century storm, whatever we're calling this. The number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is the same number, 617-779-7937. That won't change until I retire, Curtis. It's a senior moment here and there.
It's totally fine, Greg. You're here. I thought your caretaker was very sweet in dropping you off.
I have numbers. I have old radio station phone numbers, old radio station text lines, old call letters, everything jumbled about in my head.
It's okay. I will say that this Patriots team removes any talk of the Greg Hill to EEI jinxing the team. So
right?
I want you to know that we're past that.
Warriors!
That's done. Yeah. Put that away.
We are back, baby. That's
there was one person who went down yesterday for the second time this season who comes on our show. Just saying.
He looked like he was okay, though,
on the sideline. Yeah. Yep.
Robert Splain. Yep. But, yeah. I mean, there weren't any other – no other injuries.
No,
really.
Nothing that that I remember, I can recall. I thought, you know, the game, like, from – you know, just the weather and how the weather changed.
It was wild, that weather changing like that in that game.
It was absolutely nuts, you know, especially when you were going into you could tell in the fourth quarter when you were going into the snow, like, oh, it was going to be a real struggle for you. That's why those 3 points were so critical.
Also, Tony Romo shut off his mic. I was done with him.
You guys feel that way? I don't feel like
he's usually
horrible.
Don't. I usually don't. Yesterday, Sean, it was like he was contradicting himself over and over again. At one point, it was, Denver has the advantage because they're in the orange jerseys. Then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, it was like, they can't see New England because they're in white and they blend in with the snow.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous.
It just like he, and everything was such an excuse for Denver. It was constant. And it was like, well, I don't know if the Patriots are going to be able to do this. It was so one-sided. It was so bias. I did not like him yesterday. Right.
He was a little bit. He did go a little extra with the Stidham. The Stidham love. He made one throw. Other than that, he was Jarrett Stidham.
The guy that was going to have the worst game in the NFL history had better numbers than Drake May.
I give him better numbers than Drake May at one
you
play.
You said that they were going to blow doors and that I was an idiot that you wouldn't notice
the difference. I thought they were going to win by double digits, but defensively they both played good. Luckily, Stidham did what he did and basically pushed the ball with two hands backwards. which led to your touchdown that ultimately tied the game.
Right. Well, Drake May's first throw was intended for a Bronco. That
yeah, but guess what? You know what May didn't do? He didn't turn the football over. Well, and that was the key of the game.
That would have been a turnover.
Huh? Was it?
Who?
What?
No, I'm asking Curtis. Was it a turnover?
It was a turnover-worthy play.
What, was it a turnover?
No.
Oh, okay, you
got me, Scheim. I don't even have an answer to get out of this one. I was told was that I was an idiot for saying that Stidham wouldn't be awful.
He was awful.
He was awful.
In the beginning of the game, he wasn't.
He was 0 for 3.
He made 1 throw.
Okay, 0 for 3. Then the next series.
Then he made 1 throw.
Yeah, but that was a pretty good one. 2-4 yarder.
He was good for like 3 drives.
I got a little nervous during that.
This is the exact same thing that we did with Philip Rivers, where they do the revisionist history.
He made 1 throw.
He was so bad, Mike Vrabel was like, yeah, let's just throw the ball away on third down and punt it to him, because I know he's not going to score.
Right, but neither side could do anything.
No, but
Drake May was equally as bad.
Nobody's talking about Drake May.
That doesn't matter. We're not talking about Drake May. We're talking about Jarrett Stidham.
Right.
The thing that Drake May did.
They both handled the elements the same. Here's the difference.
No, here was the difference. And then I said this was going to be the difference in the game. The thing that Drake May was able to do was able to make plays with his legs. That was the difference of the game. If you look at that first possession coming out at halftime, he was able to pick up that 28-yard run. We obviously saw the naked at the end of the game where he kept it, the little bootleg.
Gutsy call. Gutsy call, Scheim, by who?
Actually, Greg, God. I think Drake May called his own number, according to Garrett Whitman. He did.
Smart of him.
He did.
Get out of here.
According to the center, nobody knew he was going to do that.
Scheim, naked.
Get lost.
What do you mean, get lost? Oh, the center told you.
No, see, here's what happened, Scheim. And I guarantee you this. McDaniel said, hey, call this play. Don't tell anybody, but you keep it. Right? Yeah. So it just between them two, because that happens all the time. And we're all running a specific run play thinking we're going to block. Right. And then all of a sudden.
The classic Peyton Manning touchdown.
Yes, but the OC tells them, hey, if you get the look that you want, you keep it. But don't tell anybody, because then people might start thinking about, oh, he could keep it. That was a good call. Great play. But when you start to look at the difference in that game, that was the difference. Your quarterback made plays with his legs. And it might have been different if Denver did have Bo Nix, because Bo Nix would have been able to do that. And we kind of knew going into this game, you know, Stidham's not going to be able to do that.
None of us said it was going to be a wash with the quarterbacks on Monday, but we could
I don't think we're talking about Drake May. We're talking about Jarrett Stidham.
We're not arguing that.
Yeah, we're not arguing that.
Drake May wasn't good.
Drake May wasn't good, but Stidham was awful.
They both were bad. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But that was
not what we're arguing, Curtis.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with Wiggy, who's
been. But you just keep changing. You keep moving the goalpost. Stop moving the goalpost and just admit you were wrong. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Yeah,
get over yourself. God.
Jeez.
We're supposed to have fun today, Curtis. Stop trying to ruin this for people.
Says the guy that literally complained about the offensive coordinator for 10 weeks when they had the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah, because he called back.
I wanted to have fun those mornings.
Curtis, we're going to the Super Bowl.
I'm glad. Hey, listen, I'm glad it was Stidham.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am glad it was Stidham because Houston's defense was good.
Yep.
You know, your defense was good, and, you know, I don't know what the outcome would have been with Bo Nix. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear that.
You'll hear that.
Go to another station for that. That's not relevant whatsoever. So
I play who's in front of me.
That's correct.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Vrabel breaking that down. Good stuff.
Warriors!
Oh, my God.
You saw Mac Hollins?
I did. It's hard to not see Mac Hollins.
Entering and exiting. He did it. He did the exact same thing. He had, like, the bells or whatever. I don't even know
bottles.
What those were.
I think it was the bottles.
Yeah,
just clanging them together? Bottles together.
These glass bottles together.
Nice.
It's an all-time movie. All-time reference.
I like to go Road Warriors specifically. They're just going Warriors.
Yeah.
Warriors!
Movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's great. They're truly the Road Warriors, which to me is the Legion of Doom, which is why we came back with that.
Oh, that's what that was.
Oh, yeah. Hawk
I assume
Animal?
That was from the movie.
No.
Got it.
One of the best tag teams of all time.
Yeah. Wonderful.
The Road Warriors.
Well, again, they go in, and their defense, as shaky as it looked to start, and Denver and Stidham, I mean, they had a couple of drives, lest you forget. They start with a three and out. They're running around. They're flying, meaning the Pats defense. Then they give up the 52-yarder to Mims. Sutton gets in the end zone a few plays later. And next thing you know, all of a sudden, it's 7-0. Pats kick it back. Denver has a little drive where Sutton dropped a pass on third down. He beat Gonzo again.
He did. Yeah, that was a little bit behind him. But if you're Cortland Sutton, you have to catch that with a backup quarterback.
Thank you. If Bo Nix throws it, you're like, come on, better ball. It's your backup.
No. You got to help him. And Cortland Sutton's supposed to be good. So, like, you have to make that catch.
Okay. Pats go three and out again. There's a sack on second down. And you're like, May is not seeing the field. And he looks a little rattled. And then the Broncos go on their drive. 11 plays, 43 yards, 6:32, where they decide to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, on the 14,
They have all the momentum.
Oh, yeah.
And they wind up giving it back to the Patriots because of that. A few drives later, the Patriots wind up scoring after a Stidham fumble, quote-unquote fumble.
What a wild play.
What
was that?
Do you think they got that right?
So,
yes.
Yeah. No, well, yes and no. I think it was a fumble.
If it's a fumble, they blew it dead. It should have been a touchdown. Yeah. No, I get that.
That's why I was like, what in the wide world of sports is this? Because, like, both teams could be pissed. Because you're like, all right, so was it an incomplete pass? That's what Denver's rooting for. Then the Patriots are like, well, that's a touchdown. And at that point, the Patriots obviously had 0 points on the board. So you're like, they kind of need the defensive score. I wasn't sure they were even able to put it in the end zone on the offense.
Me neither.
So you're like, so what is that? It can't be both things. And then they're like, we're just going to, like, kind of screw both teams in a way, and we're going to rule it a fumble, because in real time it looked like a fumble to me, because it was just like so weird, and then he's kind of like pushing it, and then when you saw enough of the replays, it was like, oh, that is so, kind of like down the line.
I actually thought it was exactly what you just said. In real speed I thought fumble.
Yeah.
Then I watched the replay and I'm like, crap, that looks like a full. I honestly thought it was a forward pass, like, whatever. They looked at it. They.
But it was such a weird, like, push thing that it was, like, hard to, I don't know. That was weird. But then you're like, why'd you blow it dead? Because on the field, I thought live, a couple of the officials that were near it kind of got out of the way, and they let the scoop and score happen. And then Nance is trying to explain it away. It's like, all right, well, they didn't blow it dead because they got to take a look at this one. And then they, like, come back, like, overturn it, but not a touchdown. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, the two next to the play let it go. The ones on the other side, you could hear the whistle blowing the whole time.
Like, yeah, dude, what are you doing? Like, let the play out. And they didn't. And so I thought it should have been a scoop and score. It wasn't. Now, thankfully, they were able to put it in the end zone there, and it wasn't going to be one of these, like, we're looking back on it and be like, oh, man, how they called it right.
But I agree with you. Like, I didn't necessarily think they were going to score there. And that's late in the half. Like, you've been down 7-0. This felt like a real opportunity. 6-yard slant to Booty, and then May runs it in.
But that is such a momentum swing, like, going back to your point. So the second quarter starts with them, Denver, having the ball deep in Patriots territory, and they go for it on fourth down. And they run a horrible play. Like, it wasn't even close. It was just a mess. They should be up 10-0. They're not. Their defense even gets the ball back after that. And then you have this weird Stidham push-pass fumble thing. Push-pass.
Well, with him. With him, it's both.
And then the Patriots score a touchdown. So at that point, it's 7-7. But, man, did that momentum swing in favor of the Patriots after those last, three possessions.
Well, and the end of the half was wild. They both were missing field goals right before the end of the half. So the action picked up as much as it did in this game, a game with 17 total points.
Right.
The action picked up a little bit. But, no, that was a huge swing. It all began with what I thought was a pretty brainless decision by Sean Payton to go for it on fourth down. Decision.
You're up 10-0 at that point. What a stranglehold that would have been.
And, you're at home. May's doing nothing. The Pats are doing nothing against this defense. In fact, really all day they did nothing. They had one long drive that ended in points, and that was the field goal drive where they had to go for it on fourth down, and they barely got it. I mean, the touchdown drive was, two plays, 12 yards. So they didn't drive the field against this Denver defense and score all day long. Kick your field goal, make them go the whole field.
Yeah.
You have a backup quarterback and a 10-point lead at home in the AFC title game approaching the middle of the second quarter.
Now, this isn't like
you're not
playing against, the 07 Patriots where you're like, all right, we're not going to win with field goals. You have your backup quarterback. The Patriots had already had the ball three times when the Broncos elected to go for it, fourth and one, up 7. Patriots had the ball three times for a total of 12 yards. And you're like, no, we're going to need touchdowns here. I'm like, I don't know.
Crazy.
You might not. And so that one in real time, and I'm normally a go for it, but there are situations for all these things.
I'm normally a go for it guy too. I wanted the Patriots to go for it on their tush push, which again, I hated that play call.
Right.
Why is Milton Williams on offense when he's never done it? Tonga, you never run the tush push. Like, I hated the Patriots play call.
That was so weird.
But I wanted them to go for it because they have May. Normally, when I want to be aggressive and I want to go for it, And there are lines to it. McVay was too aggressive last night. Fourth and five is a lot different than fourth and one. But with your backup quarterback,
yeah.
Like, to me, I thought that was way too aggressive.
In those elements, I think we may have given the kicker edge to the Patriots going in.
We did.
But, like, that's also risky on either side. Like, I don't know if you want to leave it in the hands of that if it's a further field goal, right? Or, I think that one would have been the elements hadn't shifted yet, and it would have been a Will Lutz, like, 30-yard field goal. Like, you're up 10-0, in all likelihood.
Yeah. So here's Sean Payton after the game on the fourth down decision. He did a one-on-one with Evan Washburn after the game. Wasn't asked about it. Like, why ask about the fourth down decision? But then after the game, in his press conference, he was asked about it.
Sean, you mentioned the field goal. What was the decision making on the fourth and one early in the second quarter to go for it?
Yeah, I just felt like, man, we had momentum to get up 14. It felt like we had a good call.
Horrible call.
And where were we at yard line-wise there? Yeah, I think the feeling was, man, let's be aggressive, to get up 14. I was just watching the way our defense was playing, and the turnover on our end resulting in a touchdown, and outside of that, man, I thought we did a good job in containing them. There'll be a number of things when we watch the tape I'll look at and critique and pay close attention to. But it was a hard-fought game, and we didn't do enough to win it.
If they kick the field goal there, they might still be playing. They might be in overtime number five trying to figure out how to score. No, I'm saying like
they might still be playing going to the Super Bowl.
The game might still be going on because I don't think either offense is going to score in overtime because the weather was only getting worse. As it was going on, it would have been insane. It was just like, hold on to the ball, don't snap the ball into the end zone, was basically how I was watching the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, he can explain it away all he wants, but like that game or that play call cost him.
Yeah, he's like, I like the play call. Stupid.
The play call was terrible. He almost got sacked by two different players, and it almost got intercepted by two different players. Like, there was two guys, one of them, friend of the show, Milton Williams, was in the lap of Jarrett Stidham. And then he threw it to Craig Woodson, and I think it was Tavai was right there too. Like, they weren't even if he caught it, it was short of the first down. It was a horrible play call, but the decision I think was actually worse.
This Patriots defense, Keith, and
you know, nails.
It's unbelievable. So the Patriots are the third team in the Super Bowl era to win a conference championship with 10 points or less. Buffalo beat Denver in 91, 10-7. Los Angeles, I'm guessing that is the Rams. That must be the Rams. Beat Tampa Bay 9-0 in the 79 NFC Championship game. So that's it. They're the third team to do it. And I think that speaks to their defense. I wouldn't tell you that May and the offense were great yesterday. They weren't. May made enough plays with his legs, and I'll take that. But I would never tell you they were good on offense and McDaniels didn't feel dialed in and May wasn't very good and the conditions were a factor and the offense looked rattled and, discombobulated right from the start.
Yeah.
But the defense, again, I said before, Keith, the defense might be good enough to carry them to the Super Bowl past Jarrett Stidham. I didn't know if the defense is good enough to carry them all the way to winning a Super Bowl championship. Now I'm not so sure. I'm starting to wonder now that they're here.
Well, and it's funny, the way this path has been, it's been all great defenses along the way, and then you can kind of argue up or down the offenses. Obviously, Denver takes a big hit without Bo Nix, but the Patriots defense is right there with all these other teams, and so even if the opposing defense is limiting Drake May, who had an MVP season, but even if they're not scoring much, it doesn't seem like it really matters because this Patriots defense is up to every challenge. They allowed 3.3 yards per carry, but for the lead back, R.J. Harvey, 2.8 yards a carry. They were just stuffing him because they needed him desperately, right? Anytime you have a backup quarterback, if you can start second and five, second and four, things like that, maybe you have a chance. But they were getting to him, and they just dialed up the pressure. They turned Stidham over a couple of times. Obviously, the one score the Patriots had was a direct result of the Patriots defense. They really actually scored. They just didn't give it to him.
Yeah, good point.
So like they were awesome. And some might say, wow, it was Stidham. Okay, whatever. That's who was in front of you. And they've allowed two touchdowns on defense in three playoff games. Like, yeah. Give me a break.
And I
none to Herbert, one to Stroud, one to Stidham.
Yep, and I thought one of the Stroud ones was a short field. I'd have to double check.
Yeah, it might
have
been.
But yeah, that's either all, way, that's two all touchdowns, they've allowed.
Like,
Good Lord. It was one of the strip sacks.
Patriots 72 first half yards is on the other side of the ball. Fewest in a playoff half since they recorded 54 in the first half against the Jaguars in 98. They lost that game 25-10.
Big eeks.
Patriots had 12 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of game it was. You had to
but
win on defense.
That's why the Peyton decision was so dumb. Well, that's what we had seen to that point.
I agree. Peyton made a massive mistake. Vrabel understood the game. He understood the assignment, and he passed it with flying colors. And it's part of the reason why the Broncos are out.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We love it here. We love New England. We love the shoveling and the snow blowing and my are frozen. I can't feel my fingers, but I can feel the Patriots back in a Super Bowl, huh? Go get myself a Dunkin' Donuts, go watch the town, get jacked up. A couple weeks, baby, we're back.
That was not the guy that everyone's seen on social media. That was actually Rob Ninkovich, former Patriot, stealing the shtick of the guy everyone has seen on social media, who I apologize, I don't know his name, but does those types of videos. Yeah, that was Nink in his full union suit out in the dark with snow everywhere. It had been snow blowing and dealing with it, but I think a lot of New Englanders, it's funny because this is probably perfect timing, because we'd all be bitching and moaning and complaining and in our feels about the crappy snow and the cold, and there's another storm coming next Sunday that's actually going to be bigger than this one, and buildings are going to start collapsing, and it's going to be hell and cold. And then everybody's like, but the Patriots going to the Super Bowl. That's pretty cool. So I think
there's
needed
another storm
this.
Coming next weekend.
Oh, yeah. There's another storm next weekend that early signs are. It's a week out, Fitzy, but early signs could be as bad or worse. And because nothing's going to melt this week, because I don't know if you also saw that the lows are in like the single digits all week. It's not going to get above freezing. Like,
oh, yeah. No, I've seen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll make it, boys. It was,
you'll be fine.
Oh, it was. I shoveled. I can't remember the last time.
Oh, that's true. People like you in bad shape aren't supposed to shovel for too long.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah,
that's big talk from somebody sitting in his home office right now there, Andrew.
Yeah, well, Dan and I trooped in.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Come on. Give us a little credit. But Dan, you're in an apartment complex, so someone was actually, or a condo, right? So somebody kind of took care of the...
I'm in a four family home. So me and my landlord this morning were out there shoveling and snow blowing away with the rest of the neighborhood. It was
attaboy.
Hell on earth. It was great.
Welcome
but it's
back.
Great.
That's gonna toughen your skin, kid. We're happy to have you.
Just sets up the six pack of Miller Lights tonight, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I said to my wife while shoveling, there's one guarantee today, and I'm having a tough week on guarantees. 38-13 didn't exactly play out, but I'll tell you what is playing out. 601 Miller Lite will be cracked. That's how you treat sciatica and sore shoulders and backs. It's the best treatment. But
probably a lot of doctors listening right now like, well, sir, actually, that's probably
sir, that's actually not, you should not say that on the radio. I'm not a doctor. I'm not offering advice. I'm just saying things on the radio.
Stanley's going to be visited by Dr. Samuel Adams tonight.
But yeah, probably. And last night, I'm sure he was. But I do think, you know, we'd all be a little bit more miserable today if the Patriots weren't going to the Super Bowl. If you combine the storm and the shoveling and the cold and this sucks. But we also have, yeah, but you're going to the Super Bowl. 2 weeks, buddy, we'll be watching Drake May against Sam Darnold. The matchup that no one wanted when the season started. No one asked for. It is remarkable. Sam Darnold is in his first season in Seattle, and he's in the Super Bowl, and Drake May is in his first full season as the starter in New England. So before we get back to the phone line, 617-779-7937, we do need to throw it out there. Did Drake May have a good game yesterday? Just a simple yes, no. Drake May played a good game yesterday.
No.
Oh! I don't like where you're at right now.
I
Did you
like
hurt
Drake
your brain
May
while shoveling?
I like Drake May very much, and I am extremely proud of him and his football team. And did he make the play he needed to at the end of the game? Boy, howdy, he did.
Boom.
But did he have a good... Oh, no. What was he, like 10 for 20 throwing the football yesterday?
10 for 21. It wasn't great.
Yeah, it was not great. Nor were the conditions...
Stats are for losers. Okay, but in this case, bad stats were for a winner.
Uh-huh. We can cherry pick it all we want, but... He had a difficult time finding his receivers. He had a difficult time with the conditions. He had a difficult time with the footing. It was the legs of Drake May. If you want to emergency power rank what ultimately was responsible for the Patriots' victory, it was clearly A, the Patriots' defense, huge chasm, B, Sean Payton spitting the bit. More on that in the three-point stance. And then C, his legs. Drake May's legs were greater than Symbol, his arm yesterday.
You know what also was greater? The number of turnovers. Because there were zero. He did the job. We asked all week, don't turn it over. So a week ago, he throws three touchdown passes. But he also has an interception and two fumbles. Well, four fumbles, but only two were lost. Four fumbles. So he put it on the ground four times. But he threw three touchdown passes, and everybody's like, you can't do that. You got to clean it up. You can't have the turnovers. Can't have the turnovers. Can't have... So he doesn't turn it over, doesn't even put it on the ground, doesn't even really put it in harm's way, right? He missed some throws, but they were low or they were one hoppers. He didn't really put it in harm's way, but he doesn't have the touchdown passes. He doesn't have the stats. He only throws for 86 yards, rushes for 65 yards, wins the football game, and people want him to have stats. So when he had three touchdowns and 100 passer rating, it was all about the turnovers. Now there's no turnovers, but your numbers weren't fluffy enough, even though you won the football. The poor guy can't do anything right going against top five defenses. People want to criticize him no matter what he does, and I am here to defend the merits of one Drake May. I'm not.
I happen to think that he did enough, but did he have your question of did you ask did he have a good game or a great game?
Good. I just said good game. Did he have a good game? Yes or no?
I mean, if you just look at the stats, look at the game tape, like, no, he didn't play well. Yeah, he got the win.
Dub.
Andy, can a starting pitcher also not have a good start and then your team still wins because your defense or the power hitters, the lineup, the offense did the job for you? Like, well, this may be the case where he made contributions to the overall team win, like we said last night. Ultimate team sport this football is, but he did not have a great game by any stretch. I would not even really qualify it as good.
I'm glad you brought up the starting pitcher because much like starting pitchers, they get the win and the loss, right? No other player does. Just the starting pitcher gets the win or any pitcher. Mm-hmm. And in football, the only guy when you go to their Pro Football Reference page that has wins and losses is the quarterback. So the most important statistic, and you'll often hear this, Fitzy, if it's the let's say it's the ALCS game seven, and the Red Sox win 9-8. 9-8. The starting pitcher, I believe Alex Cora will say, he gave us a chance to win. At some point in his postgame press conference, he'll say, he gave us a chance to win. It wasn't pretty. He struggled. He did whatever. And Drake May gave the Patriots a chance to win. Is that correct? Like yesterday?
The starting pitcher goes 3 1/3 and gives up four runs and leaves with the bases loaded, is that, quote, a chance to win?
Yep, because he could have given up six. He could have given up a granny before he left. And I'm being a little bit facetious here, but there are some similarities. It's like the win is the win. If you find a way to grit out, gut out, get the win, I think that's a good day, especially in the postseason, especially with the season on the line, on the road, against a great defense, like kind of all the layers that go into the story. So I actually think Drake May had a good game. He just had an ugly stat line, if that makes any sense.
We went over this last night, and it's kind of crazy to think if I had told you before the postseason, because this is Drake May's actual postseason stat line, that Drake May was going to go 43 for 77 with four touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, two INTs, six fumbles, three of which were lost. You would have said, well, it's a great run, but it's a shame that they lost in the divisional round to the Texans. That's I imagine what you probably would have said. Instead, they go up against. And yes, we all know that he has accomplished something no one else did, just like the Road Warriors went 9-0, first time in history. Drake's the first quarterback to win against, and he gets that win, Andy. Three top five defenses on the way to the Super Bowl, which is spectacular. His defense deserves a lot of credit, but Drake did put them in a position more often than not to get the job done. So, you got to give him his salute and props and hip-hops.
All he does is win, 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 and that's all we really care about because the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. Let's go back to the phone lines, Fitzy, 617-779-7937. They are loading up. I think Chris in Ashland on line one has been waiting the longest. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. Great show. Can't get enough talk radio.
Thank you.
And I was shoveling with a smile today. Three things quick is the coaches can't win you a game, but they can lose your game. We've seen that again. And you got out-coached last night. And name of the game is to keep the game close, and you can always come back and get them in the end. Just stay close. And that's what they did. And the other thing is no one talked about the altitude, all the hype about the altitude and going a day early instead of a week or 3 days early. No one in the media, no one's talked about that, if it had any effect. If they didn't ask Drake May, how do you feel? It looked like it fatigued Denver more than it fatigued us. And then the last thing is, one of the great movies next week when you got no football to watch is The Express. Great movie about Ernie Davis, a college football player. And then Dennis Quaid said, quote, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's where, what's his name, get that quote from?
Ric Flair.
Woo!
No. What's his name? The quarterback there that used to play for us. It was bad mouthing you. To be the best, you got to win the best. Cam Newton. Check
Thanks
it out.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Dennis Quaid. There's no chance Cam Newton got it from that. He got it from Ric Flair.
Ric Flair was doing it about four decades before Cameron Drell Newton was.
Yeah, and doing it in Charlotte, where Cam Newton played. I'm guessing they crossed paths at one point. It is interesting Chris brings up the altitude, because we did talk about the altitude for a relatively decent amount of time. We brought up Christian Barmore because there was that question of Vrabel. Will he be limited at all with his history with blood clots? And I do wonder also, Fitzy, if the nature of the game prevented it from becoming a major issue for the visitors, because the game dramatically slowed down when it started snowing in the third quarter and became...
Yeah, because everyone had to like be on tippy toes.
Right. So I feel like... Now, the funny thing is, I don't know if you noted this late in the game, they said Jarrett Stidham was dealing with cramps. He was cramping up and stretching, and they were giving him electrolytes on the sideline, and they were surmising that it's because he hadn't played four quarters of football in... forever, basically, right. Multiple seasons. But I did not notice any of the Patriots players, and a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, he was out there a lot, and he was putting in some very heavy carries, right? Like, there were no big holes. It was not like he was just banging into a wall
of
humanity.
An absolute wall of very aggressive, muscular humanity, and having to like do that, get back up with thin air, freezing cold conditions, and then have to tote the rock again potentially within like a minute or two. Damn. He is one of the Patriots who, no matter what happens in 13 days, whose stock and stature in my eyes has elevated significantly.
Absolutely. And he would have been, and I said this to you last night, he would have been my player of the game. He would have been you posed a question on the Six Rings post game show, who do you feel best for or happiest for making it to the Super Bowl? Yep. Ramondre Stevenson is at the top of my list. The things he's been through personally, professionally, us ripping him on the radio, just the weight of having a fumbling issue over the, you know, like that's literally, you know, that's like being a guitar player and you keep dropping your guitar on stage and everybody's like, what are you doing? Like, that's kind of how you make your money, is holding on to that thing. He had a fumbling issue over the last year plus that could have derailed his career. But thanks to his coach and his own accomplishments and whatever mental fortitude, he gets through it. And then over the last 6 weeks, he's as good as any offensive player they've had. And yesterday, the numbers weren't pretty. But he's another guy that I think gritted it out for 2.8 yards per carry when you needed every bit of those 2.8 yards per carry over the course of the game. So, no, they did not wear down. It didn't seem like the altitude got to them. So, if anything, I think Chris is right. It might have looked like it affected the home team a little bit more. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to David in Sandwich on line 3. You're on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. What's up, David?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Hey. Listen, I watch the Patriots all the time. I'm not up on the positioning of the guys, but there's a guy named Moses, and I saw their defense come back right through Moses two or three times, and they landed right on top of Drake May.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, he's standing there. I'm 6'2", I weigh 240. Right. It'd be like me just standing there right next to him and letting the guy blow right by me and just tackle him, just put him.
All right, thanks for the call, David. Morgan Moses didn't have a great day.
How many brags can you fit into one call? We were testing that
there. Yeah, there were a few there.
I stopped counting at four, Dan.
I enjoy it. I watch all the games. I don't really know where people line up.
I'm 6'4".
I'm 6'2", 240. That's a stack of bills right there.
Sounded like Drake May. I'm a little tougher to knock my block off than you'd think. I'm 6'2", 240.
Not so easy to light up. Said 6'5", 230. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but last week, Morgan Moses, of the... eight teams that participated in divisional round weekend, Morgan Moses was PFF's highest rated tackle. Had a clean game against the Texans, which is not easy considering you're dealing with a whole lot of Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Cut to this week, and yeah, he was not by any stretch.
Nope, he was not good. He looked old and slow, if we're being honest. And the Broncos defense can make a lot of people look that way. They didn't set a franchise record by accident, Fitzy, with 68 regular season sacks. They're pretty good. They get after it. They're athletic. We talked about how they aren't just, you know, the two guys on the edges. They have guys in the middle. Zach Allen got there at least once. I know Cooper got there. Benito was actually the quiet guy. Other than that one time where Will Campbell missed him on the cut block, Nick Benito was not super active through the course of the day. But it is what it is. This offensive line, I think, you know, I got ahead of myself in the preseason when I said it might be as bad as it was last year. It clearly was not as bad as it was last year. It's
that
not
was you, right? The one that Tom Kerner called wrong-headed radio? Just
100% said J.J. McCarthy's biggest fan. But I will also say it's not as good as it's appeared at times either. Like, it's still a questionable – it's still a really young tackle who has to prove himself on one side and a really old tackle who you're like, eh – this has been good, but how long can this really keep going with Morgan Moses? And yesterday was not one of his better performances, but it was, again, I have to, I'm going to treat them all with the same grading rubric. It was good enough to win, right? They checked that off on the rubric. They all were good enough to win
you
in the
got
end.
Got it done.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.